We're back here on Sports Talk, coming to you. We're going to talk about some more black and gold action with one of the greats. Great Dane, that is. Kicker Morton Anderson joining us. Pro Football Hall of Famer. Always appreciate the time, Mort. How you been doing?
Doing fantastic. Ready for a great 2026. And off to a good start. So hope you guys are well as well. And always great to talk to you guys.
Martin, so what's your take on, is it just maybe working at your craft more, the training? Why all of a sudden they go, well, you better make the 50-yarder. Where now it's almost like, well, somebody eventually kicked a 70-yarder, and it's like almost a 62-yard or 63-yard field goal today is kind of like maybe what a 52, 53-yarder might have been back in your day.
Yeah, it is amazing how far they're kicking it. There's a couple of things that have occurred, I think, over the last, you know, 5-10 years. It started at the tail end of when I was finishing up, 06, 07. You had a long snapper. That's all he did. You know, back in the day, we had a center who had gloves on. He would go for a 10-play drive and then be all sweaty, and then he would have to put a different hat on and snap for a field goal. And it just wasn't ideal. So that's one component that you also now, you don't have a backup quarterback. You have like the punter usually holding for you. So you have a lot of time with those two guys off to the side, not really part of the rest of the team they practice. And then you can plug back in. But that's a lot of quality right there. There's a lot of time where you can get it right. And then, you know, they're kicking the K-balls now that they're given, I think, at the beginning of the season, and they got them all year. So they can do whatever they want to those footballs. And they sure look different than the ones we were kicking back in 82, 83. They look like balloons. So that adds to a little bit.
Right.
But I'm not trying, you know, sour grapes. Listen, the guys are very good now. They start at an earlier age, and they have really good coaching moving through and up. So, you know, back when I was playing and before, you know, if you were a foreign soccer-style kicker or soccer kicker, or soccer player, let's get that guy, you know, the Tony Fritz's, the Horst Muehlmans of the world. It's come a long way. Most of the kickers now are American-born. You know, our guy's Irish, and he's pretty good.
Yeah, and I always say it's entertainment. Wouldn't you want the best ball you could kick? I can remember, Martin, back in the day, wouldn't you want the best ball you could throw? Because they'd whip out these brand-new balls out the box. They'd be so slick, we'd have to put them in the dryer and have the equipment guys rub them down. I remember talking to Jim McMahon about this, is that do you know the NBA, don't you want them to shoot the best they can shoot, percentage? They do not play with a brand-new basketball. It's broken in. Same thing, like if you throw in a ball in practice, it's not like, oh, you're cheating. Well, why couldn't you throw the best ball you could throw or kick? To me, that was just common sense, the NFL, to take that approach. Now, go ahead.
Well, I just want to make a point that when we were playing, okay, we were at the mercy of the quarterback. So if the quarterback, wanted the ball a certain way to throw, he trumped because he's going to handle the ball 70-plus times a game. I'm going to handle it. My foot's going to touch that ball maybe 6 to 10. So whatever the quarterback wanted. I'm talking about before the K-balls. We were all just kicking whatever the quarterback said. So, you know, my thing was I would go and make friends with that guy and say, hey, are you good? And if he had big hands, it was no problem because if you have big hands, you can – deal with a ball that's a little more round. But if the guy had small hands, I was screwed because he didn't want us to touch the ball.
Martin, looking at the distances now, and obviously we had to change kickers, and both still kicking in the NFL. One goes to the Colts after we let him go. And his name's slipping my mind now.
Blake Groupe.
Blake Groupe. Yeah, what am I kidding? Yeah, Blake Groupe. Now we're going with Charlie Smith. I still want to say Smythe when I see that name, but I know it's Charlie Smith. But the question I have for you, and I know the special teams coach, Coach Galliano, has to be aware of this, is that, if you make the kick, we win the game. If you miss it, you lose. And the one thing that didn't bode well for us this year, and it could come down to – you know, whether you're in the playoffs or not. If you look at 50-plus field goals, opponents were 10 for 10, where we were 7 of 12. Then you look at 40-plus yard field goals, opponents were 9 of 11, and we were only 5 of 10, 50%. Mm-hmm. That right there could be all the difference in the world, whether you're in the playoffs or not going forward. So if Charlie Smith wants to keep his job, and he's missed some 40 yards, you got to make those. It has to be like a long extra point.
I used to say you had to make everything 40 yards and in, and now the standard's higher. And now it's basically
50 yard in. Yeah.
You got to make everything 50 yards and in, and then we'd like you to be at, you know, 80% 50 yards and out. And if you can be at 50% 60 and out, we're okay with that. So the standard has completely changed. So, and it's moving really fast. But you're right. I mean, the money kicks, I always said 30 to 45 yards. I'm going to get 80% of my kicks. And that held through. If you look at the breakdown of my 25 years, most of the kicks, I think my average was 39 yards. Out of 2,544 points, I was right around 40 yards. I think it's second in the history of the league. Longest made in the league over a career. Vinatieri is up there, and I think Tucker was up there. He wasn't quite, you know, he didn't have as many years. But So it's interesting. You're making a valid point. Back to your question. Yes, you have to make 50 yards, and then you pretty much got to be perfect. And you got to make them too, like the makeable ones, you know, like a 38 yarder. And it's not sexy to talk about. Sexy to talk about a 70 yarder and a 65 yarder. But those have the same value. We keep forgetting. I mean, until they start giving 4 points for longer kicks,
right?
They have the same value. And man, I put a lot of emphasis on those medium kicks when it mattered. And it wasn't necessarily last kick of the game, but it was maybe in the fourth quarter, end of third quarter, and ended up being the last score. Because of our defense was so damn good.
Right, right. No, that's the difference whether you win or lose, but you get to at 8 and 8 or you 10 and 6 or 11 and 5, those game-winning kicks, and you came through a mm-hmm. number of games to put us over the top. Mm-hmm. Now, Martin, I think if somebody will kick an actual 70-yarder in a game, it might be a little from the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think mm-hmm. he's probably kicked a couple of them, like 67. And
well, he kicked a 70 in preseason.
In preseason, yeah, exactly. But, you know, they're going to count it when it's in a real game. And I can remember way back in the day, didn't the Raiders maybe one time try with Janikowski?
We actually tried, too, like a 68-yarder one time against Tampa Bay, I think. And it was long enough, but I was wide left in the Superdome. 65 or 68, it was out there.
Okay.
And Janikowski tried a bunch of bombs, you know, and
he kicked it far enough, but not straight enough, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He had to, you know, just missed it. And the margin for error, you know, you have 18 feet 6 inches. That's how wide the goalposts are in the NFL. And it's 10 feet above, the crossbar's 10 feet up. So as you go back, the perspective changes and narrows. But I always aim for the middle because it never changes.
And, you know, Martin, the one thing always took the approach that I feel blessed to be able to play inside. You know, yeah, it's football. You got to deal with inclement weather. But if you're throwing the football, I'd rather be throwing in a dome than in Buffalo. I mean, the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour. Just stands to reason, you know, playing in the Silver Dome, the Super Dome, the Georgia Dome. Look all the number of stadiums you played. You've kicked indoor and outdoors, but it does make a difference. So I think even if, let's say you're kicking for the Saints, that right now with Charlie Smith, you have to be more accurate. Because, look, you get to play in Atlanta inside. Now you're still playing outside Tampa Bay. It could be raining, whatever. But when you talk about kicking outside inclement weather, when you break it down, boy, it's extremely cold. The ball's different. Or obviously the wind or a training. What would be the hardest inclement situation you could be in as a kicker?
Bad footing. Bad turf like Chicago, where it's sandy underneath the grass, and you slip and slide. If you don't get
your plant foot, sand. So your plant foot,
foot's everything. But let me give some perspective to your comments. Everybody called me a dome kicker. I spent 21 years in a dome, whether it was Superdome or Georgia Dome, And Gary Anderson famously said when I got cut from the Saints in 95 and went to Atlanta, Gary said it didn't take Morton long to find another dome. Anyway, if you look at the numbers, my outside numbers are actually better than my inside numbers. So for whatever, and you can fact check that.
Well, that's because you focused.
Yeah, I don't know. I had good equipment guys, you know. So, I mean, we had Silky and Dan, and we got good cleats. So the thing is, I spent a lot of time, you know, pregame figuring out what kind of turf I'm dealing with, because like San Francisco was, you know, back when we were playing, we had multi-purpose stadiums. Don't forget that. So all the outdoor stadiums were baseball stadiums too. So you had the dirt.
Fulton County, even in Atlanta.
Yeah. I can go down the list. Philly. I mean, there were a dozen of these stadiums that were multi-purpose. So they were baseball stadiums and then football stadiums, but they left the dirt in there. So for a kicker that's coming, let's say, from the grass to the dirt, that's not a big deal. Now you got to push off the dirt and go onto grass. That's an issue because you're going to slide. So there's all these considerations. Dirt to dirt, no problem. Grass to grass, no problem. Grass to dirt, no problem. Dirt to grass, an issue because it's that first, you know, initial step that gets you going. And then you got to have a solid plant. So to me, just to answer your question, I mean, it can rain, it can snow, but if I got a good plant, you know, I feel pretty good. I can deliver the ball down the target line.
Martin, you look at the NBA has always been, and as far as in regard as being international, look at the NFL, how it's grown, and that's how we got Charlie Smith, international pathway program out of Ireland. Yeah. And look now in college football, it seems like you have maybe I don't know, two handfuls plus. Oh, where's that? Look at that punter from Australia. Look at all the damn Australians they got now. So I think that's going to continue to grow. Go ahead.
Darren Bennett was the first guy from Australia. Played with him in 2004 with the Vikings. And he's the one that initially created the Aussie punt, the end-over-end where you hit the back part of the football.
And it looks like a kickoff. Yeah.
It looks like a kickoff in the air, exactly. And when it lands, it usually bounces back, doesn't bounce in the end zone. That's Darren Bennett. Look him up. San Diego Chargers for many years, and then he went to the Vikings. And, you know, a lot of those guys from Australia, they were Aussie rules players. And, you know, I don't know if they came through the pathway program. I would imagine a lot of them did. But Darren certainly brought a couple of guys over when he started out, and he played for a long time in the league, and so I give him a lot of credit for that, and it's fun to watch. It can be a real weapon to have a guy that can pin people inside the 10, because as a returner, you always ask, man, don't touch. If the ball's 10-yard line and in, don't touch it. Don't try to run it back. Let it bounce, and hopefully we get a touchback. But those punters have become so proficient in that kick inside the 20, inside the 10 even. It's kind of wild to watch. It's a weapon.
Now, Martin, looking at now the schedule and different ways to watch the NFL and also different venues, look, even in South America, you're playing in Rio de Janeiro. They're going back to Mexico City. You look in Madrid, Spain. You look back in Germany, England. And, yeah, I wanted to ask you. I know you got to be part of that too. I mean, you can't get more European than you. The Saints being associated with France. Come on, the Florida League, right?
Well, let's go, and then we'll go to Aigvev. You know, we'll bounce down to Aigvev and have a glass of Grenache. You know, but I was part way back in the day when we started the international series. Most of it was preseason, and the two cities that were most popular was London and Tokyo. And I went to Wembley Stadium, the old Wembley Stadium, with about 12 people. There were Raiderette cheerleaders, and then you had a bunch of players that were flown to London, and we bounced around the UK and Scotland, and then also played a couple of games in Tokyo. So it's come a long way, and I think the league's emphasis is obviously to globalize the game, which it is one of the greatest games, you know, in existence. And, you know, eventually I wouldn't be surprised if we see a team in London, you know, an NFL team in London, and you play. Because really, it's not any further to fly to London from the East Coast than it is to fly from New York to San Francisco. It's about the same. you know, you have time, you have the time zones, but you could argue that you would play several games over there, you know, the home team, whoever the home team is over there, and then bounce over here for a series of games. And it would create a scheduling nightmare, I'm sure, but it's doable. It would be fun.
Right, yeah, the money's going to talk. But the one thing we can never have, though, we got to have the Super Bowl on the good old America. Yeah,
I understand. Yeah. Well, maybe put it up in Greenland, you know.
Yeah, we got to have that. Has to always be homegrown. But yeah. Martin, if they, you know, the Association of Artificial Teams of France, now that being the Saints, and I don't think this upcoming season, but I think they will have a game in Paris. Mm-hmm. And I heard that when Greg Bensel and Ms. Benson and all went, that Monaco. That they might even have a portion of training camp in Monaco. I said, "Well, I'm going." I'll pay my dues. I'm signing up for that because I know you've been to Monaco and all, and how awesome that is and that atmosphere.
Yeah, that's about 3 hours from the house in France. You know, from Aigues-Vives. That's about a 3 hour drive. Not bad. Just down the Côte d'Azur and right into past Nice and Cannes, and you get right into Monaco, and you blink and you're out of Monaco. You know, it's tiny.
Right.
It's tiny. They do have a French league team, so they have the stadium.
The facility right?
Mm-hmm. They do have the facilities available in Monaco, and that would not be a bad place to hang for a little bit and prepare for a Sunday afternoon game in Paris. So I'd be in on that. I'll do the advanced scouting.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be a chauffeur. So I'm gonna guide the Great Dane in France. So.
You'll be entertainment director, Bobby, which I know you're very good at.
Yes, at times. Yeah, I still feel like I'm 28, 29 in my mind, you know, so.
Absolutely.
All right, love you, bro.
I love you, too. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Appreciate the time, and we're hoping that Drew Brees and Jari Evans joins the Great Dane in the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah.
You're pretty good about one of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Both of them deserve
love
it.
Them both.
Yeah,
both
deserve it. I know Drew will be a first ballot, don't you think, Martin?
Yeah, for sure. I think Drew and Fitzgerald for sure. Maybe Keithley. Yeah.
All right. All right. Thanks, brother.
Always great to have a legend on the show. Thank you, Morton Anderson, for joining us here on WWL Sports Talk.